What do you want to do? You want to put it in the case?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm so fucking pissed off. It's the Driveway Liberty Podcast, and I've had the bap-dap all week, and I feel like shit. So that's probably going to come across. But I'm sitting here with my good buddy, Dan, who I haven't seen in a minute, because we've both been busy. Dan, how you doing, man?
I'm trying not to succumb to the black pill.
Dude.
So it's been a rough... From national politics all the way down to local politics, it's very hard to not throw up your hands and just say fuck this shit,
man.
Because there's so much crap going on.
What I'm disappointed, man. I'm really saddened, and I'm really, I'll be honest with you, dude, I'm not seeing a lot of fucking hope.
Well,
that's what troubles me. I mean, because hope was what we had. You know, that's something that we thought we could change. But I'm sitting here seeing people who are confessed Republicans advocating for selective socialism because it's got a pretty view.
Because it's an emotional reaction to the current issue that's in front of their face. And the powers that be, and whatever you want to call them, conspiracy theorists or not, the powers that be, the people who are genuinely trying to subdue and control the population, because we know that's happening,
sure,
have figured out a way to get us to be so fucking distracted that they can pretty much do whatever they want to.
That's the thing, man. They know all they have to do, it's like throwing coins. Have you ever played Assassin's Creed, the game?
No.
All right, Assassin's Creed, if you're not familiar.
I know the game. I just haven't
It's played. A game where you are actually a 17th century assassin in France. One of them. They have several versions of the game. And then there's another version in England. And you have these assignments as an assassin. You're going out and you're part of the revolution and you're attempting to kill the bad guys. And you get caught in a melee in the streets with the authorities. And one of the things you do to get away is throw coins in the street. And it distracts the group, in, you know, the crowd, and it allows you to get away.
They all go run for the coins.
They all go run for the coins, free money.
Yep.
And I feel like that's exactly what not only our local government's doing, our local opposition, not even just the government, as well as, you know, on all levels, man. And it's people are getting distracted by the coins, and they're not seeing what's really going on.
And the frustrating thing for me, and this is what's hit me a lot lately, is the fact that even though we as citizens who believe in freedom, individual rights, etc. I'm not assigning that to a political party because I don't think there is a political party for that anymore.
That should be a tenet held by all in this country.
Yeah, and it used to be.
In this world.
And it used to be, but it's not. But the people who are supposed to believe in that freedom, when there are situations in which you're fighting or you're calling to account or putting a spotlight on a certain issue, and for it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a First Amendment issue, whether it's a customary use, whatever it is, private property rights, etc., whatever that issue is, you or whoever, even some other people have done it, have called out some arguments and facts about that situation and some other things,
right?
Money being spent, etc. And people who are supposed to be aligned with that thinking, like, try to break down your argument.
Yeah.
And maybe find one tiny little thing in there to dissect it instead of getting caught in the minutia of the details of it instead of understanding the entire
thought process. Overarching
thought process of what we're talking about.
Right.
So you're like, I'll give you an example, and I'm not going to call anybody out, but I put a post up, and this was several weeks ago, and it, like other things that have happened that have brought this back into my mind, and it really fucking irritates me. I put a post up there talking about like the most fundamental thing we can do is reduce the size of government, get them out of our daily lives as much as humanly possible. I realize that is a lofty goal, but it needs to be the goal. And then other goals below that break off of it. But the end result needs to be, the government needs to be as small as possible.
Yeah.
And what that is, we can argue and decide on. But the government needs to be as small as possible.
That needs to be the goal.
That needs to be the goal of any thought process or any thinking. So I put that out there. And somebody who's supposed to be aligned puts a meme up there basically saying, a person who lives in an HOA is talking about small government. Ha, 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 ha. Like, what the fuck does that do? How does that help in any way? Are you just trying to be funny and stupid at the same time? I don't understand it. Help me understand why somebody who is supposed to be, who believes in small government,
says they believe in
small
government,
puts that out there. And that's supposed to be a positive. It wasn't like my original post was a joke. There was no fun or interesting. And I didn't mention HOAs in there at all. It had nothing to do with it. But you're basically saying, you're calling me a hypocrite for saying I want small government, but I live in an HOA. Let me tell you, if you think I live in an HOA and an HOA controls my life, you're fucking terribly confused. Like, well, I violate HOA stuff constantly, and nobody says a fucking word to me.
Well, and something else to think about here is, all right, I think we've mentioned this before, but one of my corporate jobs as a sales officer in management is also when I was in business consulting, is I taught goal setting. And way you set goals, and I'm not going to go into the entire seminar here, but the first thing you do is you sit down and you make a wish list of things you want. Now, that could be a Ferrari. It could be a mansion by the ocean. It could be a private island. Whatever it is, you write it down. You dream big. Now, you back in to that goal. All right, what do I need to do? What do I actually need to physically accomplish to reach that goal? If I want that mansion, all right, that mansion right now is $15 million. So I've got to earn $15 million to buy that mansion. Well, how do I do that? Well, you break that down into a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, whatever plan, and then you break that further down into a daily goal. Our goal
turns into a to-do list, an action item list.
And you know what? Even if you fall short of that goal,
you're still moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it comes to politics, I think most of us agree, or should, that government is the biggest problem in our lives.
Yeah, and those same people ask government to do stuff.
They continue to do that. But what we should literally attempt to do is to limit that control over our life. Well, the way we do that is by working towards the goal of reducing the size of government. That's a realistic thing to go after. No, we may not reduce it to 1830 or whatever, but fuck, you know what? We can reduce it. And anything in lesser government, no matter how much less, is better than our current situation.
I think the problem, and this is a problem that's been created by, and I say the powers that be, basically it's just people who live for helping perpetuate the power of government.
Right.
So you've got the government officials themselves, because they need to keep their paycheck coming, whether that paycheck's legit or under the table or both or anything. You need to keep that world in existence so you continue to live the lifestyle you live. You need the money coming in.
Sure.
The other thing is the power that they have.
Yeah.
So those people, the powers that be, we'll call them what you want, those people are in the mindset of perpetuating whatever it is that they have, power, money, etc. What we're doing, you and I and other people like us, are trying to promote limiting that power. So right. you got to fight against, you know, you got people who want to limit the power, and then you got people who are going to do anything to keep that power alive. And the people who are in power have done such a good job at distracting and dividing the people who are trying to limit that power that nothing gets done. And then you create the infighting and the minutiae and the bullshit that we've talked about earlier, and nothing ever gets done.
Yes, but I don't think we can lay 100% of that blame at the feet of government, that particular point.
Because, no, and I'm not saying
we're sitting here accepting that information for what on the surface, for what they're telling us, and we're running with it. I say you and I aren't necessarily, but there are people who will take this information and run with it.
The issue, I think, is that people who are on the side of our side, making small government, are distracted by is the fact that they don't see any way to change it other than burn the fucking thing to the ground.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is show them the path that we don't have to burn it all down, because as soon as you say burn it all down and start acting on that, then you end up being January 6th people, and you're
on the FBI watch list.
Yeah, and you're done. They'll eliminate you. We don't need to burn it down. We don't have to destroy in order to fix.
No, we don't. But we do need some.
But so many people think that's the case, so they just throw up their hand.
It's all or nothing.
And say, well, there's nothing as an individual can do about it. And then you got the other people that just don't want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why talk about it? You can't do anything about it.
Right.
And that's why we are where we are. I know these are the same old talking points, the same old story. But damn it, I'm irritated.
Man.
And let me tell you, we're going to segue now.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, we're going to play a video for you that's a couple, three, four weeks old. But I think we need to play it at regular interviews so you understand exactly who it is that is in power and what they think of
your rights.
Our rights, yes.
Yeah. All right, lay it on us, Daniel.
I'll lay it on you. I got to take my sunglasses out to get my phone to open.
Jackson? So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. I mean, what would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact.
So, first thing, she said duty. Ha, 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 ha. Second thing, it's not government's place to protect you from yourself, number one. It's not government's place to infringe on... Who is to decide what's harmful and what's not? Who is the ultimate arbiter of that? These are people, just like us, elected to positions, or in her case, appointed to positions, who are placed there to look after our interest, yes. But that does not make them any wiser or any smarter. It doesn't make their worldview our worldview. It does not make them automatic kings and the ultimate intellectuals to decide what's best for you and I. The only person that can do that is you and I.
And what's best for you doesn't necessarily mean it's best for me.
Absolutely.
So the whole purpose of the Constitution isn't to instruct the people or to determine how the people should do or act. It's basically to limit the power of the government.
Right.
So the First Amendment is there to protect against people shutting you up, whether you're the press, whether it's for religious freedom, or it's just you standing in front of your county commissioner board letting them know you don't like what they're doing. The purpose of the First Amendment is to let us talk and to speak about these things, whether professionally or personally.
Yes.
And the latest person who has been appointed to the Supreme Court literally thinks that the government is the arbiter of everything. Like, everything she said was, the government's in charge. You can't use the First Amendment to hamstring the government to keep them from telling you what they think you want to hear or what's best for you.
Well, see, and that's the first, that premise alone. The premise that that's the government's role is problematic. The thought process that they're the ultimate arbiter of what's right and wrong is incorrect.
Yes, 100%
that incorrect. That is so troublesome to me, so bothersome, I don't even know what to say about it.
But this person didn't just pull this out of their ass. This has been manufactured. We have a generation
that believes
that. Been taught this and has manufactured that mentality in any way in which people receive information.
Right.
Whether it's education, whether it's online news, etc. They've developed probably a couple of generations of this thought process. The other thing I wanted to add is, did you notice how she's talking about at the most, I forget her verbiage, but basically during emergencies is what she was talking about?
Yeah.
When the government needs to be the most diligent in order to protect the citizens, the First Amendment shouldn't be able to get in the way.
See, look, the way...
They're telling you what they've done and what they're going to do.
One thing that Karl Marx had... Correct. One thing. The one thing that he philosophically that he had correct was, you have a thesis. You have, and this is a Karl Marx idea, and then an antithesis, antithesis, mm-hmm. and they come together to form a more proper conclusion. That's not his verbiage, but in the marketplace of ideas. You and I should be able to sit down and disagree and hear each other's points and then come to a consensus. That was Karl Marx's word for that. Thesis, antithesis, consensus. And that's how free speech works. Mm-hmm. That's how new ideas are formed. Mm-hmm. New and better ideas are formed.
Mm-hmm.
And now Karl Marx used that to describe how socialism and communism would ultimately come, but we can't force I can't force my worldview on you. Yes, we could influence one another, and that's how, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on any other social media platform, whether it's you and I sitting here in this driveway, you have swayed my opinion on things, I've swayed your opinion on things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how speech works. That's how free speech works. And for government to step in and say, oh, well, I think what you're saying is dangerous or is contributing to some sort of harmful nature is not only stopping that consensus from coming to be, but it's a travesty. And it's I hate to use the word sinful, but it's a fucking hampering of human nature.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't allow any other input on the view other than what the government thinks.
Right.
So look what happened in COVID. They not only got the social media companies to hamper free speech, but they also got your neighbors to attack you.
They got your neighbors to attack you. They got celebrities attacking. I mean, celebrities that are now dead because they got the shot.
A bunch of them.
Who were actually calling for, not just short of lynching those who are against the COVID shot.
But normally you have an event like that, like COVID, in which there are so many very strong narratives that were forced on you. And then time goes by and you find out basically between 80 and 100% of that was all wrong.
Right.
Whether they were determined, predetermined lies to manipulate people, or whether it was just they think this is the right answer, so they're going to get you to do it against your will, basically.
Well, I mean, you
and
think about it.
The end result is they were wrong about almost everything. But here's the problem. That hasn't woken anybody up.
No.
Like, why is there not fucking... Why isn't there not a crowd of people in front of the CDC every fucking day screaming that they are liars? The FDA screaming that they are liars. They've actually harmed people. Why aren't we doing that?
It's not even just that. It's like, you remember during COVID, you had the CDC and Fauci and all these government officials and their minions. And by minions, I'm talking about, the celebrities and all of that. And then you have this group of doctors coming out and saying, look, we think we really need to look at this. We think ivermectin will help. We think this will help. We don't think this is as bad as everybody's saying. And they canceled those sumbitches.
They fucking destroyed them.
Ruined
their careers.
Yeah. Now, these are educated individuals who we should consider
their point of view.
Point of view. And you know what? Put it out there in the marketplace of ideas and let people make their own determinations. That's what liberty's about.
Yeah, and think about this. What they did during COVID was eliminate your most fundamental right is the governing of you over your own health and body.
Right.
Like, they tried to force... So many people got the vaccine and the shot. It's not a fucking vaccine.
Mm-mm.
So many people got the shot because they would have lost their job.
Yeah. They were forced to.
Yeah.
I'm married to one.
Yeah. Absolutely forced to.
It's a travesty.
And the way they did it in a way in which, and then they control all the mechanisms which would showcase the fact that was wrong.
Right.
Whether it's the scientists who came up with the vaccine actually doing trials that would prove whether their assertions in the beginning were true or not.
Yep.
They own all of them. Like, where do you think they get their funding from?
Yeah.
Like, it's literally the government funding another part of the government to tell you what is right or wrong or what's good for you.
Absolutely. Well, we need to go. It's a little early, but we need to take a break because the board is out here in the sun and we need
it's
to
cooking.
Get
yeah we're
we
we're,
need to get some shade on it or today. It's gonna mess it up. So we'll be right back. We're not doing beer reviews today because we've got things to do this evening that require us not to drink beer.
Yes.
So we'll be right back right after this.
Hey guys, Uncle Wes here. Remember how we're always talking about how we wish we had access to an alternative marketplace for conservatives and get away from this woke culture? Well, guess what? We found one. MammothNation.com. You can buy jewelry, eyewear, stuff for your pets, sauces, spices, coffees, vodka, wine. Just about anything you want, you can get at MammothNation.com. And guess what? If you use promo code Driveway Liberty Media when you sign up, you can get 30% off your first year. Go check them out. MammothNation.com, promo code Driveway Liberty Media.
All right, guys, welcome back. It is time for beer reviews. We ain't doing a beer review, but we wanted to play the theme song anyway.
I am drinking Field of Greens with green tea.
Field of Greens?
Yeah, it's basically just dried fruits and vegetables because I have such a shitty diet that I want to make sure I get my nutrients.
Does it taste any good?
Yeah, it's not bad.
I need to do something like that because all I eat is like fried chicken and beer.
Yeah, I started to do this just because, I mean, you think about it, it's so damn expensive to eat right.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to eat anything other than just processed garbage, it it's which makes literally no sense. I want you to think about this for a second. Is it easier to grow something and pull it out of the ground and sell it, or is it easier to make a bunch of chemicals together in a vat, forming into the shape of what comes in the garden, or a burger or whatever it is, and then in a factory create that thing and then put it out?
The latter, because what they do is they take a little bit of food out of the ground, throw it in that vat, and mix all this shit in, and they sell large amounts of it versus a finite level of vegetables, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, that's, I mean, it's like an assembly line for fake food is what it is.
Yeah.
And it the process is such that it makes it a little easier to do that anyway.
Well, in the end result, and once you have all that up and running, it's easier.
Mm-hmm.
But just to put some seeds in the ground and throw some water and let them fly and pull them out of the ground, it's certainly much cheaper and easier.
Sure. You know, it's easier if you do it at your house. Mm-hmm. That's what we should do.
But I don't understand why, like, you go to a fast food restaurant and buy a salad. It's way more expensive than buying the burger.
Sure it is.
It's crazy.
It is, man.
So, I'm...
But the burger's also a little more delicious.
Trying to make sure I get the nutrients that I need.
I need to get on that program myself. I sit there and I spend all this money on supplements. Like we're doing zinc, especially since I had stopped doing zinc and vitamin D, which I actually have a deficiency because I'm ginger and that's just how I roll.
Yeah.
I had stopped doing that till I got sick last week, and I started back. Like, I'm doing vitamin C and zinc and D, and
trying to help your immune system.
Yeah, and then I'm also I started while I was doing that, doing the krill oil and the CQ10 for cholesterol, and you know,
so
all that
expensive
stuff. It is, dude.
To do all that stuff.
It is. It's expensive to live healthy. They want you dead, man. I think I've heard that in a song.
Yeah.
Even the Fed wants you dead.
So, prior to the break, we were talking about, issues with the government, issues with, like-minded individuals. I want to continue that conversation.
Okay, buddy.
On a national level. So, we've talked about this. I think one of our biggest, whether you call them an enemy, a roadblock, whatever that is, the people who are supposed to be on your side but continue to get in the way of what your goals are,
yeah,
is the Republican Party.
Oh yeah.
So I just want to point out a couple things real quick, and this is going to blow up into a larger I believe the reason why I'm teeing this up is because I think it's going to blow up into a larger and longer conversation, because I've got some other things too.
Okay.
So Wisconsin Rep. Mike Gallagher is resigning from Congress.
Right.
Now, he's resigning on April 19th.
It's a weird time.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks after the ability to replace him.
So the governor can appoint somebody.
Yeah, but it's too close to the election now, that in November,
yeah.
So they're not allowed to appoint anybody, so the seat is vacated.
Right.
So think about that for a minute. The Republicans already have a razor-thin majority in the House. One of their House guys retires, but he does it in a way in which, from April 19th on, we'll have one less vote to count.
Yeah.
On the Republican side. Why the fuck would you do that?
Well, who do you think the Wisconsin governor would appoint if given the opportunity? Would they appoint a Democrat or would they appoint a Republican?
I would assume in his district they would appoint. Well, I don't know in Wisconsin whether the governor appoints him or not. I guess that's a question to ask.
I would imagine that short term, if it was, I'm sure there's a stipulation in there where they're, it's that close to the election and the governor probably would appoint.
No, now the stipulation is if it's that close to the election, nobody gets appointed.
No, I'm saying there's probably a time frame in which the governor can appoint somebody to fill that seat. That's most states.
Yeah, because I don't think Wisconsin has special elections.
Special Olympics.
Special elections.
That would describe Congress. But where I'm going with this is if the governor decided, regardless of that dude's district, to appoint a Democrat who wins re-election 67% of the time.
An incumbent.
An incumbent. Appointed or not, a Democrat in that district would have a better chance of winning re-election, even if they were appointed, than
so it's Tony Evers who's a Democrat. So maybe that's a legitimate.
So I think that's your strategy there. I mean, that would make sense to me. That would be if I had a Democrat governor and I thought that if I vacated early enough or too early and he appointed somebody, basically what I'm doing is giving that seat away to a Democrat.
Keep talking because I'm looking.
No, that seems like a sound strategy, and I would hope that's the thought process there. I mean, that would make sense to me. It's the same reason that Supreme Court justices don't retire in a year when an opposition ideological president is in place, unless they absolutely are forced to retire due to health or something like that.
This guy's not being forced.
No. I'm using the Supreme Court as an example.
Right.
The reason that they don't leave, Supreme Court justices don't leave office when, say, it's a conservative justice and he's close to retirement, he will try to hang on until a conservative or Republican is the president because that's who chooses his successor.
So I'm looking it up. So it's So in Wisconsin, so members of the legislature, but this is the state offices. I'm trying to find national offices. All right. Well, at least that actually, if that is the case, if it's the governor that picks this, then it makes me feel a little different about that situation.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to throw a monkey wrench in your thought process.
No,
but
and this is just like we were talking about before. Like, you have these conversations because you learn stuff.
Right.
And I didn't think about that.
So and I think you look at the Constitution to determine how a congressman is replaced in a case like that. But and there's probably some code as it relates. Because the Constitution decides how electors representatives are appointed.
Senators and members of Congress. In the office of United States Senator or member of Congress from this state, by the county clerk of the county court wherein such officer resided at the time of election to the elections commission. What does that mean?
Say that again. I'm sorry. I was distracted by the weird car across the street.
Senators and members of Congress.
Yes.
In the office of the United States Senator or member of Congress from this state, by the county clerk of the county wherein such officer resided at the time of election to the election commission. So is that telling you that the election commission picks the person?
Possibly.
So it wouldn't be the governor.
Yeah, but who is the election commission in Wisconsin?
I don't know.
And what is their makeup? Like I said, I would err on the side of this guy believing this was a sound strategy to prevent
a
Democrat from getting that.
Prior to that 2 week, they would have a special election.
They would have a special election.
Yep.
So then it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
To leave that seat open.
Yeah. So
unless he felt from, why is he retiring?
He wants to spend more time with his younger children.
Okay, why is he really retired?
I don't know. How do you know?
I mean, the guy's a congressman. He's got two places to live. He's got younger children. They can homeschool and come to Washington to see him. And I mean, that doesn't make sense.
No.
So there's something.
This is his fourth term. I mean, he's been in Congress for four terms.
Yeah. Well, somebody knows something on him And they're trying to get him out. That's what's up.
Yeah, so my initial reaction to this, I think now, is validated.
Okay.
So 2 weeks prior, you could have a special election and let the voters decide.
Right. Well, he may very well have reason to believe that whoever you would really run...
Do you really think?
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I
assure you.
Why don't you...
From having worked in campaigns, everything he's doing, there is a reason.
I absolutely... That's why I'm angry.
Now...
There's an absolute reason. Nice shirt, by the way.
Thank you, buddy. I like yours as well. You can get the... Well, no, you can't right now because I got to rebuild the website because Al-Qaeda got us.
So once he's gone, the Republicans will be down to 217 in the 435-member House. So there's the voting number, even though that's less than half...
Is diminished.
But... It just doesn't count as a vote. So the 435 member House would now be 434. So would that put us at 50-50?
Pretty close, yeah.
And maybe, well, there's three people who, I think there's four total that retired or retiring. Have retired or are retiring. So maybe that's now 431 and we're 217 out of 431.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's only a 2-year term. Why not finish your fucking term and let the cards fall?
You've already been there for 7.5 years.
Yeah, finish your term, dude. I mean, it's like I said, it's only 2 years.
Well, there's a reason, like you said.
Yeah, there is something.
And that's
somebody
why I was
knows
angry when I saw that.
Somebody's got pictures of him doing something.
Yeah, why don't you go spend some time with your small children?
Right, yeah.
Mistress or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, so let's roll into more anger with National Republicans. Did you get a chance to look at the $1.2 trillion spending bill that was
passed? Man, I did not look at it because I knew it was going to make me mad, and I was already sick this week, so I was scared I'd end up in the hospital from the stress and anxiety.
But. So, we threw out the previous speaker.
Right.
Because of budgetary issues.
Well, and he wasn't
things,
going
he
after.
Caved, he caved on a big budget. Now we put a new guy in who's supposed to have a more conservative and biblical worldview.
Yeah.
And this guy, so before we roll out the details of this spending bill, so he was on Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson was on CNBC Squawk Box.
Yeah.
And then he said the $50 million haircut freed up the government to focus on the 70% of the package focus on national defense. So he's trying to say that he made compromises in order to bolster the budget on defense. So here's his quote. And this incensed me to beyond belief. Here's his quote. Let me start over. Democracy is messy.
Oh, fuck. Hey, stop. Stop.
It's particularly messy right now and in a moment like this, but we have to get the job done, and there are some very substantial wins here. We all know what a critical time it is. The world is on fire. So I'm so fed up with literally letting the Democrats dictate language.
Yeah,
like they did it with. They've done it with.
They've done it with every fucking thing.
They do it. They did it with Russia, especially. Every fucking time he had an argument, a Republican basically, whether they were forced to or not. Yes, Russia interfered with our elections, but Donald Trump is not connected to Russia. Everything started with yes, Russia interfered with our elections. Listen. Every country that doesn't like us, and even some that do, interfere with our elections in one way or another.
Absolutely.
For our whole fucking life.
They're trying to influence because they won't. I mean, that's.
We interfere with.
That's international relations.
We interfere with elections across the world
every fucking week.
Every election. Matter of fact, we sometimes very directly interfere with those elections.
Sometimes we invade countries to prevent that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
But that's just like, and now he's
using the word democracy. We are not a fucking democracy. We are a republic.
That is the highest held political position of the National Republican Party. He's the third step from the president.
Yeah, he is.
The number one Republican in the nation, currently right now. And that guy's talking like a Democrat.
Yeah. You know what? If he were sitting in this driveway and we had this, we were interviewing him, having one of our cordial long form conversations that we have with people who we've disagreed with before, sure, and he brought that shit up, I would tell him to get the fuck out of his driveway.
I would have torn it. I'd tear him a new asshole. All right, so let's talk about the bill. All these great wins. You want to talk about all the great wins?
I don't
that
want
he's
to do
about?
It, man. I fucking. But we need to.
Okay. So they are increasing salaries for border control agents in order to fill 22,000 more positions.
And what are they doing?
They're handing
out fucking Visa cards and telling them what hotel
we're
going to
be able
in.
To process more people. It's literally the only reason. Guess who gets another $300 million?
Zelensky.
Yep. $300 million. So we've got a defense deficit because we've given him a whole shit ton of munitions.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this bill which averts a government shutdown, and in that bill they throw in $300 million.
They use that term government shutdown to scare you.
The best thing that could happen for us
is that government shut the fuck down for a few months,
and people are falsely believe that retired veterans won't get a check, Social Security checks won't get out. That's all false. All that stuff will continue.
Yes.
The government shuts down, that stuff will continue. There is essential, they deem that as a part of essential parts of the government.
Right. And
those things don't go away. The Army doesn't go to fucking sleep when we have a government shutdown. The Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, none of those guys, like, go home.
No,
like all that shit still goes on. It's a fucking lie. It's all those alphabet agencies that shouldn't even exist go to sleep.
Yeah. Best possible thing that could happen.
So our troops are getting a 5.2% pay raise, which is retroactive back to the beginning of the calendar year, which I don't necessarily have a problem with it.
Yeah.
FBI is getting a new headquarters, $200 million.
Why?
So the same guy who said we took, remember the Build Back Better bill that had the 87,000 IRS agents in it?
Oh, Jesus.
And this guy and the other Republicans are bragging because one of the bills they negotiated, the omnibus bill, I think at the beginning of the year, stripped the funding for that.
Right.
Well,
it's back in there.
Well, no, the funding for those extra agents aren't gone, but we're going to build them a new fucking headquarters.
We're fucking doomed, man.
So the federal government is giving the states $55 million for election security grants. So the federal government is funding the state's election security. How do you think that money's going to have strings attached to it?
Oh, absolutely. And who is a danger to the election security more than anybody else?
The federal government.
Right. When you start allowing people to just mail in ballots willy-nilly,
mm-hmm,
without proving who they are, that's the biggest threat to our elections.
So they're getting 22,000 more border control agents, but they're also getting $4 billion in increased funding. So they're going to be able to, they said they're going to be able to build more detention centers to hold people. Remember that was bad, you know, kids in cages things.
Right.
Remember how bad that was? Now they're going to build more of those. So they're just going to be able to process more people illegally. More asylum seekers. So child care learning programs that fall under the Department of Health and Human Services are getting $1 billion increased in funding.
Mm.
So who do you think, just remember this, and everybody will look at that and go, yeah, absolutely, we need to fund and help working mothers out with child care programs, which I don't necessarily, that's a different comment. I don't want to get off on a tangent. But another example of when you're funding education, whether that's K through 12 or pre-K, like this is.
Right.
The federal government's funded it. You don't think those things have strings attached?
Yeah.
When the airlines were going to shut down and the federal government gave them money to keep them open, and then the mask mandate comes out, you think the airlines were allowed to say, no, we're not going to do the mask mandate? Well, we won't fucking fund you anymore.
Right. That's how that works.
It's always strings attached.
That's how it works. Absolutely it does.
The U.S. Capitol Police gets a 7.8% funding increase. So the Afghans who assisted the United States during the war would be eligible for an additional 12,000 special immigrant visas. So the UNRWA, you know what that is?
No.
The United Nations Relief and Works Agency. So this was, remember when Trump said we're not funding the UN anymore? And for 2 years of his presidency, we didn't fund him. This is the right organization that he paused funding for. So they're Israel claims, and there's some evidence to back it up, that there are members of this organization that took part in the October 7th terrorist attacks. So the total spending level would be divvied up against, so this is, here's the defense breakdown. $176.2 billion for military personnel. $287.2 billion for operations and maintenance. That's a $9.1 billion increase. $172 billion for the procurement of military equipment, which we probably wouldn't need that much money if we didn't leave it all in Afghanistan. $9.8 billion more than the current levels. And $148.3 billion for research and development.
Right.
That's the military money, how it's broken down. We're also giving $300 million to Israel for their Iron Dome and David Sling, their personal defense.
We've been giving it. Israel has been, up until the Ukraine, has been the largest recipient of foreign aid from the U.S. years.
Yep. So the U.S. Treasury Department, the Executive Office of the President, the Judiciary, and more than two dozen smaller programs are going to get $26.1 billion. $12.3 billion would go to the IRS. $158 million would go towards Alcohol, Tobacco, and Trade Bureau. Alcohol, Tobacco, Tax, and Trade Bureau.
Right.
The Judiciary would get $8.6 billion to operate U.S. courts. $971 million, listen to this. This is beautiful. So all of our taxes, $971 million of it is in funding for the District of Columbia. $40 million for residential tuition support. $30 million.
So for loan forgiveness is what that is.
I'm sure it is. $30 million in emergency and security costs. So Capitol Police, I guess, and other. $8 million in upgrades to sewer and water treatment, and $4 million in HIV AIDS testing and treatment for the District of Columbia. What the fuck is going on in the District of Columbia that apparently AIDS and HIV is not under control?
Maybe that's like why that Wisconsin dude is retiring.
Well, maybe remember when the guy was banging some other guy in the freaking halls of in the House floor? You hear about that?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I can't unsee that. The picture of the dude hammering him. God,
there's more, buddy.
Man, I am.
The bill would provide the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission with $151 million in funding. The bill, now here's a good thing, although it doesn't affect the states, I guess. The bill bars the CPSC from issuing a ban on gas stoves. we actually have to have that in a spending bill. So, you know, the Republicans are going to tout that as a win. Listen, we put it in the bill,
and they're
going
to
stop them from banning gas stoves.
That's going to be their biggest selling point come election time.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to ban your gas stoves.
And we stopped it. Yep. This bipartisan spending bill stopped them from doing it.
So, look, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing on this budget. All of the negative stuff that we're talking about, your congressman is going to say, well, you know, it's the Senate's fault. It's the president's fault. Let me clarify something.
Gates didn't vote against this, just so you know.
Good. Every spending bill, every bill regarding the spending of money by the federal government is initiated in the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where the Republicans currently have the majority.
Yes. This never would have got to the Senator Biden's desk if we didn't.
Never.
Nope. But the Democrats have done just such a good job of painting Republicans as the bad guy, and the government shutdown would be the be-all, end-all of the world. Like, all those old people would just die in their homes with no help if the government shut down.
Right.
Veterans wouldn't get their checks. None of that is true.
No. And it's just like back in the late 90s when they say, well, if you vote for Republican, your grandmother's going to be eating Alpo because she can't afford to eat.
And where the fuck are we at now?
Yeah. Dude, Alpo's looking pretty good.
Yeah. Well, we got... So, what is it? Three of the last four terms have been Democrat presidents?
Yeah.
So, 12 of the last 16 years have been under Democrat presidential leadership.
And a lot of that, some of it's been Republican-controlled Congress, but some of that has also been part of the Democrat-controlled Congress. Mm-hmm. The narrative is, the marketing, branding, PR, and narrative is absolutely owned by the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
They own that.
Yep.
Now, granted, they have their bully pulpits through the media, but we as consumers of that information are at fault as well.
Yes.
Because we accept it.
Yes.
We just accept it because either we're lazy or apathetic. We just accept that information and say, oh, well, the Republicans are trying to feed my granny Alpo. Or the Republicans are going to shut down the government and you're not getting your Social Security check, which you paid in for.
Yeah, it's your money.
It's your money.
Like, literally your money.
Or the veterans aren't going to get their retirement benefits.
So I'm going to read this next one verbatim. Because let me just read it. The office of the secretary and executive management would get $404 million, an increase of about $20 million, with about $30 million of that funding going to support the safe reunifications of families who were unjustly separated at the U.S.-Mexico border by the Trump administration. That's fucking in
quotes. That's in the quotes.
Yeah.
Unjustly separated.
And the Republican House initiated this. Here's the next one. This one may, I don't know. A lot of them have pissed me off, but this is up there.
I'm about to just stop recording and just yell.
The Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, is getting $9.2 billion. Billion.
I'm fucking done. I am so fucking done with this shit. And I'm not just done with what they're doing. I'm done with you.
Wait, there's an addition.
Accepting
it. You ready?
Oh, shit.
The Administration for Strategic Preparedness and Response, a central component of the nation's response to the COVID-19 pandemic and the Mpox outbreak, would get $3.6 billion.
Government's job is to protect rights. It's not to protect you.
How'd the CDC do during COVID? What was their batting average?
Like one?
If they were a Major League Baseball batter, would they have a job next season?
No, they wouldn't even be in the minor leagues.
They'd be cut. Yep. If they were an NFL quarterback, they wouldn't have made the team. I don't understand why we... Well, and this is just goes into the argument that we keep funding our own... The people who are supposed to be on our side and fighting for us have been co-opted. I don't know whether they've been co-opted. It's a uniparty. I mean, there's so many different descriptions of it. But the Republicans literally aren't doing anything other than helping Democrats. And then they get a couple tiny little talking points in there so that Speaker of the House can go on MSNBC or CNBC, same fucking company, go on that show and talk about all the victories they had. I just read you the list of where the money went. How many fucking victories are on that list?
If it really was a victory, he wouldn't have to be on fucking news claiming victory.
No.
Sounds like dogs are eating something up over there.
I don't understand this. This bill allocates $10 billion for global health initiatives that focus on combating HIV and AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis, as well as providing vaccination programs for children. $10 billion. Like, we have a homeless problem. We have severely underfunded veterans affairs.
Yep.
Like, taking care of our own people.
And we're vaccinating
and
kids.
We're just sending money all over the place. We're paying for Israel's defense. $10 billion in poor, I would assume, African countries.
Yeah.
To focus on combating HIV and AIDS. Like, malaria, give them ivermectin. Wasn't that what it was for?
That's what it's for.
It's a dollar a fucking pill. Send over a truckload of that and get the fuck out of there.
Or hear me out. Don't send it. And let's worry about our own shit.
Yeah.
All right, dude. All right, I'm burnt out. I know there's more. It's okay. But we're up against it, and I just don't know what to say, man.
Well, and this is, so we started this show talking about how we're blackpilled, and when the more you pay attention to this stuff, the harder it is to take.
It is. You just, and I get it. You want to walk away. I've, like, at least three times in the last week, just like wanting to say, fuck this.
And brother, that is by design.
I'm gonna throw my guitar on my back, and I'm fucking, if I weren't married and have a kid, I'd be a homeless fucker down in Key West playing for tips.
That's by design, brother.
I get it. I know.
By design.
That's exactly what they want.
Yeah.
It's hard.
So, for me personally, and this frustrates my wife, I have to have an outlet for this stuff. So prior to us doing the podcast, my outlet was social media.
Yeah.
I'd go on to Twitter, Facebook, and I would have wars with people on social media.
Yeah.
Now that we've done the podcast, I kind of don't have to do that anymore because I'm able to talk about it.
You can vent right here.
Yeah. So part of this podcast is therapy for me.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you supporting that. But the other part is people have to understand and pay attention to this.
Right.
And we are just concerned citizens. We're average Joes. Our degrees are in nothing to do with anything we talk about on the podcast.
Right.
We are two conservative minded, a little bit of libertarian minded individuals who see the shit that is going on and try to tell you about it.
Yep.
And then we give our views on it.
Yep.
And you can agree with us or disagree with us.
No, I want you to go and do your own fucking research. Yeah. Don't take our word for it. Go look into this yourself and think about it. And look at it in the context of what the philosophies were that we founded this country on. Look at it in a historical context. And I feel pretty confident. You may not totally agree with me on everything everything.
You're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to. But I assure you, your worldview will change on a lot.
And for those of you who do agree with a lot of this stuff and you think you are hamstrung, you have no power, you can't do anything about it, I want you to go watch the movie Bug's Life. I know I refer to that movie a lot.
Yeah, you do.
But you see the ants in the bar talking about, or the grasshoppers in the bar going, if these idiot ants ever knew how much power they had, they'd destroy us in a second. That's real. Like, if we ever unified, that whole making government smaller could happen, like, in a month if we all got together and demanded it.
Sure. They need to know that we are watching.
Imagine if we all just stopped paying our taxes.
Yeah, that would be...
We no longer trust the way you spend our money, and until you fix it in a way in which we agree with, we're not paying it anymore.
We're done.
What the hell would that do?
A lot. That would be a good start, let me say that. With that being said, man, we are out of time. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you for listening to us bitch for an hour.
I can tell you, you and I talked about this cast earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And I think if we'd have done it on that day, it would have spiraled out of control because two of us were so fucking angry.
Yeah.
We kind of, and it's, you know how they have the 24-hour cooling off rule?
Sure.
That actually is real. Like, if I would have read all those things we're spending money on this bill, and then Mike Johnson's quote, and we'd have had to cast the same day I read that, I'm not sure. Like, I would have peaked out the fucking meters
right
on this thing. Unbelievable. So you got a more tempered version of it, but right, I think our frustration has come across, and hopefully you'll help us do something about it.
Yeah, man. Get off your ass. Gather information. With that being said, for Dan, I am your Uncle Wes, and we will see you next time on the Driveway Liberty Podcast.